Once a career prize, China's local TV stations are now in free fall. For decades, landing a job at a local TV station in China was considered a career pinnacle, stable pay, social status, and proximity to power. Today, that world is unraveling. Across the country, local broadcasters are shutting down channels, delaying or slashing paychecks, and quietly losing staff as China's strained public finances and shifting propaganda priorities leave them increasingly expendable. A recent whistleblower account by a veteran Chinese TV professional, shared on Chinese social media Red Note, struck a nerve across the industry. The writer described a system in freefall. TV station directors were receiving only partial pay, wages were delayed for months, and hundreds of channels merged or shut down outright, according to the whistleblower. Many employees who remain have turned to side jobs, livestream e-commerce, freelance production work, or commercial appearances, just to survive. Hardly anyone is living on their salary alone anymore, one commenter wrote. The station job has become nothing more than a calling card. Content no one watches. According to the whistleblower, the decline is not just financial, it is editorial. Viewers who turn on local television today are often met with repetitive propaganda dramas, endless advertising loops, public service announcements, and stale news programming that lags far behind social media in both speed and relevance, the whistleblower's post said. Production quality has eroded, innovation is rare, and content is increasingly detached from everyday life. As state-affiliated institutions, local TV stations must follow the Chinese regime's directives on messaging. That means long approval cycles and rigid controls, conditions ill-suited to a media environment shaped by short videos, viral trends, and real-time updates. By contrast, independent creators on social media platforms can publish instantly. From media powerhouse to financial liability, audience erosion has accelerated as viewers migrate online and advertising revenue has followed. The result has been mounting losses for local broadcasters. In August 2024, Shenzhen Television shut down both its public affairs and entertainment channels, according to Chinese media reports. Reports on social media describe layoffs, chronic wage arrears, and salaries hovering near China's minimum living standard. In Hunan Province, some station employees earn about $500 a month, according to Chinese media reports. In Anhui, a television host shared a payslip showing take-home pay of less than $400. Former Guilin television reporter Zing Jieming told the Epoch Times that his station failed to pay salaries for half of 2023, leading dozens of employees to stage protests. He said that only a small number of senior managers were fully funded by local government budgets. Most staff fall under semi-public employment structures, where pay depends heavily on station revenue. When local finances tighten, TV stations are the first to lose funding, Zing said. Fiscal stress, not technology, drives the collapse. Zing said the downturn in local television is driven less by technological disruption than by deepening fiscal stress. Since 2018, he said, local governments have been squeezed by a combination of demographic decline, the collapse of the real estate sector that once underpinned public finances, and Beijing's centralization of revenue. As budgets shrink, even essential services such as education and healthcare are being cut. In that environment, propaganda institutions long sustained by public funds are increasingly treated as non-essential. The death of local TV stations is fiscal, not technological, Zing said. Once the money is gone, the system collapses. Why television fell before print? In many market economies, television outlasted newspapers. China's media system, Zing said, operates under a different logic. Local TV stations are not market-driven enterprises, he said. Instead, they function as administrative units and political tools, dependent on the regime's funding and official advertising rather than audience demand. Zing said these propaganda machines are also expensive to run. Large staffing, layered bureaucracies, studios, transmission systems, and broadcast infrastructure create high fixed costs. By contrast, modern propaganda priorities favor low-cost, flexible, algorithm-driven platforms that can be edited, deleted, and redistributed instantly, and that shift has already happened. The regime pivots. Young audiences, the demographic the Chinese Communist Party is most eager to influence, have largely abandoned television, Zeng said, gravitating instead toward short video platforms, messaging apps, and online forums. He said that in response, the regime has quietly pivoted. Rather than propping up local TV stations, propaganda resources are being redirected toward platform-based messaging, such as government-run social media accounts, coordinated influencer networks, and centrally managed online content systems. So the result is a striking irony, Zeng said. Local television stations continue producing programming for audiences that no longer exist. The role of television as a local mouthpiece is over. It has been made obsolete by technology and abandoned politically. Echoes of a Soviet past. Zeng drew a historical parallel to the final years of the Soviet Union, when local television stations remained nominal propaganda organs, but were largely ignored by the public. Salaries went unpaid, staff took private work on the side, and young professionals fled. The rapid decline of television is a sign that the CCP is approaching collapse, he said. In Zeng's view, the rapid decline of state television reflects deeper stresses within China's governance model. Whether those stresses will translate into broader political change remains uncertain, he said, but for China's once dominant local television stations, the collapse is already visible. Li Yuanming contributed to this report.